Well, good morning.
Almost December. That was the next thing I was going to say. Yes, we did. Thank you. And we're actually a little bit late this year by
a week.
A week, right. So instead we're going to put up two trees this year. You laugh. I'm serious. One for downstairs is done, and we're going to do a real one a little bit later upstairs. So don't make fun of me. It's hard not to make fun of me. Oh, make it easy, do I? Well, if that's the case, I'm just going to step down off the stage. And we're going to be in Ephesians right before Christmas is upon us, of course. Next week we'll start in Advent and into the Christmas season, and then pick up again. And hopefully in the first couple months of 2017, we will finish Ephesians and we'll have a big party and all the rest. It's been a while. But this morning we're going to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's pray and then we'll dig right into the message. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you are still God today. That you will be tomorrow and for eternity. Thank you that you never change. That who you are, your character, your nature is constant. And that we can depend upon you. Thank you that you gifted us with your Holy Spirit. And I pray now that as we continue to worship you, as we continue to fellowship with one another and praise you, even through the message, Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would use me this morning. And again, just soften our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So, turn that on. We're going to pick up in chapter 5, verse 15. And so prior to this, Paul is, he's been writing about how essentially we've met Christ, we've encountered Christ, and now we are to be living in the light, as he words it. That once we used to live this way, we were in darkness, and now we've encountered Christ, and so we are to live in light. We are to carefully determine what pleases God, on and on. And then we get to verse 15, and so he says, because of that, because we're no longer to live how we used to, we've met Christ, we're now to live this new way, he says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Some translations will say, because that leads to debauchery, I think is the word they use. The same meaning, right? That essentially drunkenness will destroy your life. He says, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in just this little paragraph, he's got a couple of thoughts. So in verse 15, he says, don't live like fools. Instead, live like those who are wise. And then he says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And then thirdly, he says, don't be drunk with wine. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he's taking three ideas and contrasting them, saying, don't do this, but instead do this. And so his main focus here, we're going to focus on verse 18 in particular. His main focus, even within that verse, isn't necessarily on his command to not be drunk with wine, although writing to the audience that he has, these Gentile believers in particular within the church, they would have been familiar with or even possibly participated in the cult of this god, quote, Dionysius was his name. He was actually the god of wine. And so what they would do is they would get together and they would have their fill of wine and they would get drunk and they would participate in some unsightly activities, if I can word it that way, all in order that this god would hopefully fill the worshippers' bodies and that they would then comply with the will of this god. And so there's this cult that was going around at the time. And so in part, Paul is sort of writing to address that issue. At least they would have picked up on that. And so again, the main issue here isn't necessarily drunkenness, but rather the concept of leaving behind this life of darkness. Now that they've encountered, now that they know who Christ is, they're to leave away, walk away from this lifestyle of darkness that they once used to live in. And of course, it's very clear that Scripture teaches that drunkenness is a sin. But we can't necessarily make the case that it totally prohibits all alcohol. Right? If we just, with this issue, again, I don't really want to spend much time on it, but you turn to Romans 14, where Paul is dealing with a lot of Jewish people who have come into Christianity, and they're bringing some of their laws with them, and they want to still have the Sabbath on Saturday instead of Sunday, and they don't want to eat pork, and they don't, all these other things, and so basically he says, live by your conscience. He talks about weak and strong Christians, and it's not that some Christians are more mature and stronger than others. That's not his point. He's saying that in some things, some of us are strong, some of things others of us are weak, and it's this whole idea of Christian liberty. And even when it comes to alcohol, that if you're convicted that it shouldn't be drunk at all, then that's fine. Follow that. Don't judge somebody else who feels the opposite. The point being, drunkenness, of course, is the same. Okay, so I said my piece. We'll move on to his actual point here. So he says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. It's not an issue of getting more of the Holy Spirit. Because often when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, sometimes we get this word picture that, okay, well, I need more of the Holy Spirit. It's actually, when we break it down, it's allowing the Holy Spirit to have more of us. It's not about this single event. It's actually about a lifestyle that he's talking about. So what it boils down to here is a couple things. First is being filled with the Spirit. It comes down to an issue of control. When we look at the word that Paul uses, he says, be filled. Often, what do you think of? The word picture that comes to mind for me is, you have an empty glass, and you're filling it, right? To be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or sort of maybe like if your car is empty and you fill it with gasoline. And yet when we look at the actual phrase that Paul uses, when you look at the Greek and you break it down, it actually has three distinct meanings when he says be filled with the Holy Spirit. The first is a force which moves. That's sort of the first meaning of this phrase, be filled. And that phrasing is used primarily to describe filling the sails of a ship with wind. And, of course, providing the force which then moves the vessel. The connection there being that, of course, the Holy Spirit is the force who moves us along in life. The second meaning is that of permeation. So I had a coffee this morning, and I put a little bit of cream in it. Just a little bit. And it permeates the whole thing, right? So if I wanted to take out the cream, I can't. It's pretty hard to do. It permeates the whole cup of coffee. Again, the idea here is that the Holy Spirit permeates every single aspect of our lives. And then the last is this idea of total control. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to give Him total control of our lives. And this, of course, is probably the strongest meaning and the most used within the New Testament. Again, that it conveys this sense of almost like domination, of total control over our lives. When Christ told the disciples that he would be leaving them, he said, because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. It's the same word. You are filled with grief. But he's pointing out that their grief will be so overwhelming that it will dominate their thoughts. That it will almost, in a sense, control them. Those of you that have been through situations that have awful, where you're filled with grief, it almost controls you, does it not? As well, Peter says in the book of Acts, he says, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money that you received for the land? Again, it's this idea that being filled, of being under the influence, controlled. This meaning, when we look at what Paul actually says, he says, don't be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. It almost seems like they're not really connected. Why are you talking about wine and why are you talking about the Holy Spirit? Two totally different things. And yet, if you were to drink a full bottle of wine, for example, and get in the car and start driving, you are driving under the influence. Influence of what? Of alcohol. And it's controlling you. You are under its influence. And so again, it's this connection that what we're actually looking for, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, isn't this one-time event, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, etc., etc. It's this lifestyle of being under the influence of the Holy Spirit's guiding, of His control of your life. Secondly, what I'd like to point out is being filled with the Holy Spirit is not an option. Scripture doesn't say, well, if you like, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, be filled. It's a command. It's not an option. And of course, he's addressing all Christians here. It's not just this elite Christians. It's not just these super Christians. It's not just Pentecostal Christians. It's all Christians. Every follower of Jesus Christ is to be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. Right, again, it's this command. It's not optional. And if we follow the thought through, if Scripture commands it, then this must be something that is possible for every believer in Christ to obey, no matter what is necessary for that to happen. Third, being filled with the Holy Spirit is a process. It takes time. Again, it's not necessarily this one-time event. It is when we're saved, we are given the Holy Spirit, and yet the idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit is a long-term thing. It's this continuing action. The idea of keep on being filled or controlled with the Holy Spirit. It's sort of like, sometimes I think that we get this picture of being filled with the Holy Spirit, and again, I mentioned it, that it's sort of like filling up our cars. Right? We drive around our vehicle until the gas tank empties, and then we go to the gas station, we fill it up, hopefully we get a good price, and then we drive it around and we use it until we're empty, and then we go back and fill it up again. And sometimes I think that we picture being filled with the Spirit like this. So we go around, we do what we need to, and we use that, the power of the Holy Spirit, until we're near empty, and then we, I don't know, come to church or something and get filled again, and we go on our way. There is a sense, when we read through the Old Testament, that God operated this way, where there were specific times before Pentecost where people were filled with the Spirit to do a specific thing, a specific task. But as soon as the day of Pentecost happened, all of that changed. Again, we don't get filled up with the Spirit and then expend Him as we live out our lives and engage in ministry. He's not some force of energy that runs out and needs to be replenished. He's a person who lives continuously within us and should permeate every single aspect of our lives. And again, in the process, we allow Him to take control of our lives. And this must be something that we're engaged in 24/7. And I recognize this isn't an easy thing for us to do. Fourth, you cannot fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. Again, when we look at Paul's command, he says, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even the wording there, it's not this idea that you can really do much in and of yourself to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's in a passive voice, if I can word it that way. In other words, the people who Paul is addressing this command to, they're not the ones who are doing the action. Right? Someone else is doing the action to them. We can't fill ourselves up with the Holy Spirit. And every translation that I read, every English translation anyway, words it. It says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so that would indicate then that the Holy Spirit is whom we are being filled with. And yet when we compare the same wording in other passages of Scripture, we see something interesting. So if we turn to Romans 15, verse 16, Paul writes, he says, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:3. He writes, therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And 3, he says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. And so in every one of these cases, it's this same Greek phrase as translated by the Spirit rather than with the Spirit, as our English puts it. For what reason, I'm not sure. But all this is to say, it's all to indicate that the Holy Spirit really is the instrument by which this action is carried out. That the concept of filling us is really this picture of control. And so then it makes more sense that we are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit rather than with the Holy Spirit. And so really, if we were to sum it all up, really what Paul is saying, he's saying, all of you, church, keep on being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Keep on being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Again, given the context within Ephesians that he's writing, he makes it quite clear that we can't live the kind of life that he's urging us to live. Again, we used to live this way, we've encountered Christ, now we are to live this way. We can't do that as a result of our own religious effort or our own spiritual discipline or any of our own effort. We can't change our hearts. Only God can cause that to happen. And it's only when we allow ourselves to be controlled under the influence of the Spirit who lives within us already. So if you're anything like me, we get to this point and we say, how do I do that? Because I like practical things. How do I do that? How do I be filled with the Spirit to the point that I'm under the Spirit's influence every waking hour? Because that's really the goal, that we want to be more like Christ. We want to be under the direction of God in all things that we do. How do I do that? In Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Paul writes something very similar to what he's written in Ephesians. He says, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs of gratitude in your hearts to God, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. But again, it's nearly this, almost this identical phrase as he's written in Ephesians. And he's describing the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And what both of these passages have in common is that they make it quite clear that, again, the result of being filled by the Spirit is that all of our attention, and all of our focus is removed off of ourselves, and it's transferred to our relationships with God and with other people. And so again, this idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit, of being controlled by the Holy Spirit, of being under the influence of the Holy Spirit, is connected with the idea of getting the focus off of ourselves. But again, I want something that's a little more practical, a little more tangible to tell me, how do I do that? If you go back to Colossians chapter 3, in verse 16, right before he mentions, as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, that's very similar to the Ephesians passage, he says something very interesting. He writes, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom." Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Some translations may say the message of Christ or the gospel of Christ. And again, when we talk about gospel, I've been looking at just the idea of gospel this last week and just the power of it, and that it's more than just memorizing the facts that Jesus came to earth and that he lived a sinless life and that he died and that he rose again and that he's our ticket to heaven. It's so much more than that, the power of the gospel, that we come to a place where we adore God so much that we give up everything for him. It would be consumed with passion for him and for others as well. And that the power of the gospel is, it's active and it's alive in our lives every day. It's not just this ticket to heaven. So let the gospel, let the word of Christ, let scripture dwell in you richly. Dwell in you richly. We can't get any more practical than that. To be filled with the Holy Spirit really is to be filled with God's word. If we believe that it's the Holy Spirit who inspired these words, who essentially wrote these words, then to be filled with his word is to be filled with him. And so we have to allow God's word to infuse itself in every part of our lives. And really, when I made that connection, when I thought about that, I thought, that makes a lot of sense. Again, if the Holy Spirit is inspired scripture, and I want to be filled with the Spirit, then what better way to do that than dwell on his words? Again, if we return one last time to Paul's command where he says, don't be drunk with wine. That will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, this word to get drunk really is to be saturated, right? So the person who is drunk has been saturated with alcohol. And so then Paul takes that meaning and he contrasts that with the need that we are to be saturated with the Holy Spirit. We're to be saturated with the Word of God. In the same way that a drunk is saturated with liquor. And so, of course, that obviously takes more than just coming here Sunday mornings and listening to a message and singing some songs. If we really want the Holy Spirit to fill us, then ultimately we have to feed ourselves this steady diet of the living Word of God. Let's continually allow God's Word to saturate us completely, wholly. We have to listen to it, to read it, to study it, to memorize it, to meditate on it. And then put it into practice in our daily lives. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's the difficult part. And so ultimately we have a choice here. Even when we're talking about being controlled by the Holy Spirit, even as we sang the song, that there's freedom. That it's ultimately, it's not as if we're getting chained down and shackled by the Holy Spirit. It's the exact opposite, where he's loosing the chains. And we have ultimate freedom in him. Freedom from sin, freedom from bondage. When we're under his control and under his influence. And so we have a choice this morning that we can either choose to go on and live as our own boss of our own life, if I can put it that way, or at least we think we are. Nothing like to feel like we are. Or we can take that almost difficult step of surrender to God, to the Holy Spirit, and say, no, you are in control of my life. I want to be under your influence in all things that I do. I'd like to pray, and then I'll invite Rook and the worship team back up. Father, we come before your throne now, and thank you for your word. I thank you for your servant Paul, and Holy Spirit, how you influenced him to write these very words. And I pray for each one of us here this morning. I pray for Webster Church as a whole, even for those that cannot be here this morning, Lord, that you would continually lead us by your Spirit to a place where we would be under his influence in all things, Lord, especially the things that we want to hang on to and not give up. We don't want to give up control to you, Lord. Work in our hearts. Soften our hearts. Let us be controlled by you. Let us be under your influence and just wholly saturated by the Spirit in all things that we do and say and think. And give us the strength, give us the power to do that, Lord. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.